You to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me the New Testament to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Oh, tonight we need to have Calvary to be real to us, don't we? I remember there was a night in my life where I bowed at the foot of the cross, trusted the Lord Jesus and what He did on the cross of Calvary. His finished work there, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I think we ought to enjoy the journey. As we realize what Calvary is, we'll enjoy the journey so much more. The Bible says in chapter number 4, verse 34, "And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 35. It says, look on the fields. Look on the fields. And tonight that's what we need to see, that the fields are white, ready to harvest. Let's pray together. Father, please have your way. Lord, may we understand the need of the hour. Lord, may we realize what you've given to us to do in your precious word. May we see your love, Lord, through thy word, and then, Lord, through the witness of believers as we go out of this place. Strengthen me, God, please. I need thee. I can't do this alone. Lord, I pray that you would indwell me and enable me and help me, Lord, to preach with power, Lord, with ability which only you can give. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's a great chapter in the Bible. Chapter number 4. I preached 2 or 3 sermons about this woman at the well and all that's going on. And this woman was surprised, if you'll remember, that the Lord Jesus would even speak to her. She being a Samaritan, and of course Christ was a Jew. And we see a great story here about the conversion of a woman, her trusting the Lord. She was amazed not only that He spoke to her, but also that He knew everything about her. If you'll remember, He asked her to go get her husband, and she said, "I'm not married." And He said, "You've said this right. You've been married 5 times, now you're living with a man." He told everything about her to her. She was shocked and amazed, there's no doubt about it. And then, after she had trusted the Lord and she drunk from that well that never runs dry, she left her water pot and she goes out and she begins to tell everybody about this man. And she said, "Come see a man that knows everything about me, told everything about me. I want you to meet him. The greatest things ever happened to me was meeting this man named Jesus." There's no doubt about it. This woman had a changed life The people of the city, they were surprised to hear the testimony of the woman, because I'm telling you, her testimony before wasn't anything like what she was saying now. I'm going to tell you what happened. She come around, them women would grab a hold of their husband's arms. She didn't have a good reputation. She went at noon to draw water from the well, the hottest part of the day. Anybody would know that they would go in the mornings or in the evenings to draw water. But the woman would go at noon so nobody else would be there, so she wouldn't have to face the ridicule and all the talk that would be said about her, and there would be the whisperings and even to her face the things. But the Lord Jesus Christ sat there on the well and He said, "I have an appointment to meet a woman that nobody else cares about, but I care about her." It changed her life. She took a drink of water, didn't she? She got all that she ever needed that day when she received the Lord Jesus. She got that drink of, from a well of water that sprang up into everlasting life. Think about that. Well, so as all these things are happening, and verse 29, she says, "Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Of course, these people went out of the city. They wanted to meet this man. Verse number 31, the disciples came to the Lord and they prayed him, the Bible says, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him all to eat?" You ought to be hungry. Jesus began to tell them some things. And I think he wants us to see this as he begins to talk about the fields. And as he was speaking to his disciples, he said, "Look on the fields." He said, "You're so concerned about your own well-being and your own welfare, but all I don't want you to do is to get your eyes off of you, get your eyes off of your circumstances, and I want you to look around, and I want you to look on the fields. They are ready to harvest." So tonight I want us to look at this, look on the fields. I want you to see, first of all, the ready harvest. The ready harvest, the Bible says in verse number 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." The harvest has to do with the finished work of Christ, because the Bible says in verse number 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." You want to know why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world in the first place? It was to do the work of redemption, to bring salvation to whosoever believeth. He robed himself in flesh. He came into this world. He became obedient. He humbled himself. And the Bible says that he humbled himself. And by the way, his first humility was not at Calvary. He humbled himself and became a baby in a manger. We're talking about the God of the ages, robing himself in flesh, coming into this world through the womb of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life. And yet they nailed him to the cross. But before Christ ever came to the cross, came to the world, he knew the cross would be his end. Before the world was ever created, Christ said, "I'll go." And when he was on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And the Lord Jesus Christ completed the work that he came to do on the cross of Calvary, the work of paying for our sins on the cross. Because Jesus died on the cross, salvation by grace through faith is offered to all. It matters not. You can look in these windows tonight, and you can see the little children from all around the world. Different eyes, different complexion, different colors, different clothing. Some, no doubt, may live in finer homes, and some may live in little huts, and some with these same complexions may live in trash heaps. But I want you to know Jesus loves them all. And he came into the world, and he suffered, and he bled, and he died for all. And tonight, when we think about this, we need to look and see the ready harvest. We need to understand tonight that as we look out, it's ready. The harvest, it's ready. But I find myself too many times looking at what I want instead of what God wants me to see. About being sure that my pockets have something in them. Being sure that, you know, God said he'd take care of all of our needs. When we see the ready harvest, I believe it ought to help us to see that this harvest of souls is ready. We're not to wait 4 months or 4 weeks or even 4 days. It's every day we're to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, immediately we ought to be talking to people about the need of knowing this one that loved them so much, that would come into this world, that would die on the cross, that would be buried in a borrowed tomb, that would rise up again the third day, and then promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Whosoever believeth in him. You're going to be encouraged over the next few days to give to world missions. There's no doubt about it. That's what a world evangelism conference is all about. We're emphasizing this year being involved in missions. Part of that is this, is the giving, because we're supporting these missionaries. We've got missionaries that's on foreign fields, that's going to foreign fields. We have missionaries in our own land. And, you know, they're trying to do the work of God. And we're going to do what we can to help support that. I understand that. But don't ever forget our mission field. The fields may be wide other places, but the fields are wide here too. There's people right here that need the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to see this. Christ came and died on the cross. And boy, sometimes I talk to these people coming up and down through here, and I'm going to tell you something, they just have no care whatsoever about it. But regardless of whether they care or not, Jesus does care for them. And there was a day in many of your lives where you really didn't care. Those days in your lives where you wanted to sow your wild oats and live it up and you know, just go out and do whatever it is you wanted to do. But somebody did not give up on you. Somebody continued to pray for you. Somebody continued to give you the truth. And finally, one day, it broke through. Jesus does love me. He did die on the cross for me. He was buried. He did rise again. And He's invited me to come to Him. Hallelujah. And I came to Him. What a Savior. People all around the world need the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's not forget, people right here need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some instructions that's given to us. It says, lift up your eyes. I think we go around with blinders on sometimes, don't we? I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. You know, if I don't see it, I'm not accountable. If I don't see it, I'm not accountable. I want to tell you something. You're accountable because the Bible teaches us to look. You're accountable if you look, and you're accountable if you don't look. It doesn't matter. If you're saved, you have an accountability and a responsibility to tell the people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how much He loves them. He says, lift up your eyes. Look around. I tell you, if we really got our heart and our minds and our eyes set on the condition of the world and the lost condition of the world, I'd say if we could, we'd give every cent we had to sending out the gospel. There's no doubt about it. If we really, I mean, we can't do that. That's irresponsible. We understand that. But you understand what I'm saying tonight. You'll be introduced to some people groups over the next few days and see some pictures of people who have no gospel witness at all. No Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church anywhere around. No, and when I use this term, I use it pretty loosely, no evangelical Christians anywhere around. I'm not talking about just no fundamentalists. Baptist, no Baptist church. I'm talking about those that classify themselves as evangelicals. You'll be hearing about a few of those. No gospel witness at all. Look. Lift up your eyes. Can't you see we live in a land that has been abundantly blessed? Oh, but preacher, look at all that's going on in the economy. We have been abundantly blessed. We're so spoiled, we don't know what we do have. I want to tell you something. If the economy falls tomorrow, I still have Jesus. And that's something this world can't take away from me. And while these people all around the world, they may not have anything, but if we can give them Jesus, they'll have everything they need for eternity. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look on the field. See people the way that God sees them. We have to realize this is an urgent need. We can't wait. We can't put it off. The ready harvest. The reapers are needed, the Bible says in verse number 36. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Somebody said there's too many shirkers, not enough workers, and that may be the case. But I want to tell you something. We need to be reaping. The harvest is white. It's ready. But But you know what most of us are thinking? We'll never have another great harvest. We'll just hold out till Jesus comes. That can't be our attitude. We can't just hold out till Jesus comes. We have to be aggressive in our witness. I'm not talking about an in-your-face, down-your-throat kind of thing, but I'm talking about being faithful to the Lord, walking right. If you were here Sunday night, you heard me talk about the walk and the talk of the believer, and it's all important. If we'll walk right, we'll be able to talk right. If we walk the way we're supposed to walk, we'll be able to tell others about Jesus, and they'll be able to hear what we have to say. We have to be active with this. I am accountable for people that I meet. And the more I'm around somebody, the more I'm accountable in telling them about the Lord. If you have a family member, you have an accountability to that person to tell them about Jesus. I'm not talking about, we don't coerce anybody. We believe in individual soul liberty. But you know what we're to do? We're to tell them that Jesus loves them and He died on the cross for them. He's willing to forgive their sin and to welcome them into His family and to make them a part of God's great family, promise them eternal life in heaven. Now, we can't make them believe that, but we can sure tell them it's there. We can sure tell them how much He loves them. We can't shirk our responsibility. We can't cast it off and say it's not there. And we can't cast off our responsibility to try to spread missions around the world. But at the same time, let's not be so embodied in spreading missions around the world and forget that we have our own mission field right here. All around us. Everywhere you look, there's people that need the Lord. When we look at this, we see another time when the Lord Jesus gives a simpler illustration of this, and it's in the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 9. And I want you to see what it says, because there's three things we see here. It says, but when he saw in chapter number 9 and verse number 36, the Lord Jesus says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. If we're going to be a reaper, we must have compassion. You know, it's so easy to get disgusted with sinful people. Right? You look and you think, ugh. But what Jesus could do in a drunkard's life is an amazing thing. What Jesus could do in the life of somebody that has thrown their life away up to that point is an amazing thing. Jesus looked. And as he was looking out, the Bible says he saw the multitudes. He saw them as sheep that had no shepherd. And that's the way the world is without the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. We'll never be the reapers until we have the compassion that the Lord teaches us that we need to have. Not only do we see the compassion, I want you to see, the Bible says in verse number 37, then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He's calling them, isn't he? We see compassion. Has to be compassion. But we have to realize that God is calling us. The Lord is calling us. We need to see the urgency. He's calling us to the harvest. And then we need to see the courage. The Bible says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. If we're going to go into the harvest, we're going to have some courage. We can't be weak, mealy-mouthed and just back off. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about forcing something to bound somebody's soul, but I am saying we need to be bold in our witness and tell people, Jesus does love you. He did die on the cross for you. And they start saying, you know, all these different things. Stay on track. Be sure you let them know. No, I'm not talking about all these other things. I'm talking about how Jesus loves you. It's going to take some courage. And there's some people it's going to be difficult to talk to. But we have an accountability and a responsibility to reach these people. May the Lord help us.
And then finally, I want you to see tonight, we've seen the ready harvest, we've seen the reapers that are needed, but then I want you to see the rewards that are ahead. Notice what the Bible says back in our text in John chapter number 4, when the Bible teaches us in verse number 36, the Bible says, "He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." What's the pay for reaping? Right now, the wages are God's blessings in your daily life. Isn't it? Wouldn't it be a great thing? Now think about it. Wouldn't it be a great thing if you went out and you were just to begin to talk to somebody about the Lord? You just started praying. You start out with just one person. I'm going to start talking to them about the Lord. One person. Now I'm going to pray for Faith. Faith Shelton. She needs the Lord. And I start talking to her, and I come and I witness to her and say, "You know, Jesus loves you and He died on the cross for you. Do you know that?" You know, and she may be, "No, I don't. I don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't have time for that. I'm just 15. I got my whole life ahead of me, and you know, there's boys and there's cars and there's all that." Anyway, you know, she could say something like that. But I say, "Yeah, but I'm not talking. I'm talking about something that if you get it now, it's good forever. Jesus died on the cross for you. You're not perfect. You know that, right?" "No, you're not. You're not perfect. You're a sinner. And your sins has to be paid for. But Jesus paid for those sins on the cross of Calvary. Wouldn't you like to have them sins taken care of? And wouldn't you like to know that as long as you live here in this world, that you're going to have a friend and a Savior that's going to be right there by your side? He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And then one of these days, you're going to draw your last breath here in this world, or there's going to be a trumpet sound. And when that happens, you're going to be with Jesus in heaven." Now, you're not going to do it like that, because, man, they're going to think you're crazy. But when I'm preaching, I can't help. I get excited about it. And she listens. She says, "Yes. I want that." He said, "Let me show you what the Bible says." And you take him to the Bible, and he says, "The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You understand you're a sinner? We're all sinners, aren't we? And the Bible goes on and says in Romans chapter number 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. You know what that means, Faith? That means the payment for your sin is death. That death is not just death where you die and go on the ground. That is an eternal separation from God. But the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus loves you? Do you believe He died on the cross for you? Do you believe He rose again the third day? Well, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that great? It doesn't say you have to turn over a new leaf, you have to do this and that. You just have to confess that you're a sinner, and you have to believe that Jesus died for your sins, and then rose again. Are you willing to call upon the name of the Lord? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's pray. Can I lead you in a word of prayer and show you how to be saved and show you how you can ask the Lord? Now, you're talking to God. You're not talking to me. And when you're praying to God. You're not praying to me. And you pray like this. Are you ready? You say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And I believe You was buried and You rose again the third day. And I'm putting my faith in what You did on the cross of Calvary. And I'm trusting You and You alone for salvation. Please come into my life. Be my Savior. And help me to live for You from this day forward. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me." Did you just pray that prayer? You prayed that before, right? But in this scenario, you just prayed that prayer. Well, that's wonderful. That was Tuesday night. Tomorrow night, why don't you go to church with me? And we're going to tell everybody about it. It'd be great. Come and preacher gets up there and rants and raves like a wild man. You know, like a crazy guy.
And she's sitting here thinking, man, if they're all like this, I don't know. It comes down to the time of the end. The preacher is given an invitation. And here comes that person that talked to you about the Lord. And he says, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on. You walk down the aisle. Preacher, this girl on soul winning visitation, or in my home the other night, or I went to her and she trusted Jesus as her Savior. And I'm here with her. I brought her down the aisle. And she wants to let everybody know that she's put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so happy. Church, this is faith. Faith that you trust Jesus as your Savior. If you were to die, where would you go?
Heaven.
Go to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Church, how many's going to be praying for her? How many's going to be praying for her? That's great. Some of you are not going to pray for her. That's awful. You could have that scenario. You could walk somebody down the aisle. Meet me or somebody else here. Because why? Because you looked out on the fields and you said, they're white and the harvest, they're ready, the reapers are needed, and I'm going to be a reaper. And now I have done what God's told me to do in this instance, and I brought her in. Boy, the rewards, they're great. You're going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. We're going to be there together forever. There's nothing like it in all the world. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. So you get the rewards while you're here. There's nothing greater than walking somebody down the aisle that you led to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you told them how they can know that heaven's going to be their home. I'm telling you, the rewards here are wonderful, the blessings of God. And then you know what happens? You get a taste for it, and you say, I got to do that again. You'd be like D.L. Moody. Back then, they rented pews. He would rent all kinds of pews. People in church get so mad at him because he'd go out to all them old rug rat kids. He'd go down there to Drunkard's Row, and he'd win them to Jesus, and he'd bring them in there with all them pews he had rented. He would bring them into the house of God. And I mean, I'm talking about all them multiples of pews, but every one of them he had talked to about the Lord Jesus Christ, and many of them had come to know the Lord Jesus, and the blessings of God was upon his life. But what about later? The Bible says, he that reapeth receiveth the wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. So we get rewarded now with the blessings of God. But then our greatest reward is that those that we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we get to rejoice with them when Jesus comes back. Notice what the Bible says. And I'm done. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says in verse number 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. When we start thinking about these rewards, they ought to make us want to go out into the fields that are white in the harvest. Spurgeon said, I'd rather be the means of saving one soul from death than to be the greatest orator on earth. What a man he was. What an orator he was. They say when people would go to see, I believe it was Parker across town, preacher across town. And they said that when they would get done listening to him preach on a Sunday morning, that many of them would walk out and they would say, what a great preacher! They would go on Sunday evenings and they would hear Spurgeon, the mighty Metropolitan Tabernacle. And they'd walk out and they'd say, what a great Savior. What a difference it makes when it's about who He is and not who we are. Look on the fields. They're white, all ready to harvest. Matthew Henry said, I would think it greater happiness to gain one soul to Christ than mountains of silver and gold to myself. Look on the fields.
Give to world evangelism. But don't forget to give yourself to the harvest. Look on the fields. God didn't give you the job you have to not be a witness for Him. He didn't give you the neighbors you have to not be a witness for Him. He didn't give you the family you have, the co-workers. He gave all of these things to us so that we could give the gospel. Let's bow forward to prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love. How mighty and merciful and wonderful are You. Lord Jesus, tonight we realize the harvest truly is plenteous. Lord, we're praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers and help us look on the fields. Lord, help us to engage, to get active in reaping. People are looking for answers, Lord. We realize that. But Lord, help us to give them the true answer to their greatest need. Help us, Lord, to give them Jesus. Lord, help us now to respond. Help us to be obedient. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.